Here we go.
It's time for the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. The Laker Hockey Show is brought to you by the Antlers, Sioux Motors, Century 21, Barish's, Fingator Cleaners, Cooper Dental, Don Wilson Insurance, Marchetti Distributing, Parker Ace Hardware, Central Savings Bank, and War Memorial Hospital. Now let's head live to the Antlers for the Laker Hockey Show with the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, hi again, everybody. We are live on a Monday night at the Antlers.
And we got a big echo going here tonight.
We're going to turn that down a little bit because it's echoing on us in a major way here. But Damon Witten is with us. And Damon, this is our fourth hockey show of the season. We're still looking for our first hockey victory. And, you know, it's getting to be like a broken record. You and I talked about that Saturday night after the game. It's getting old, but it's not getting any older for anybody than you.
Yeah, well, it's the reality of what the situation we're in, and yeah, nobody in that locker room's happy for sure, and especially the coaches who go home and the family. So it's difficult. I mean, there's no avoiding it. We talked about it quite a bit today. You know, as a team, and along with our teaching video and what we went through, and we'll talk about some of the areas we hit on with the team. But no question, I mean, it's staring you in the face, and you've got to deal with it, and that's the reality of the situation we're in. And then certainly that nobody's happy. Nobody likes where we're at, but we've got to work. And nobody on the outside, you know, Anchorage isn't going to feel bad for us. Huntsville's not going to feel bad for us in 2 or 3 weeks. So it's a situation we find ourselves in, and we've got to get back to work and find ways to improve on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's a very difficult start for everybody. Stephen Perfetto, by the way, is going to join us halfway through the show tonight. We'll be chatting with Stephen about the situation, and I know no players on this team are happy with what's going on, and I thought you did a really good job with the Blue Liners and with the post game on Saturday night. You kind of, I think you called it the elephant in the room, but you diffused things right away by talking directly about the situation, and I think the fans really appreciate that.
Well, yeah, like I said, I mean, it's there. I mean, every one of our kids knows exactly where we stand and where we're at, you know, and certainly the coaches. I mean, there's not a lot of sleep in the staff's houses and not a lot of rest, and but like I said, that's what it is, and we've got to face the reality and to turn it around. Nobody's turning it around for us. It's going to be what we do, stick together as a family and as a team, and find our way out of it together. You know, I think you'll learn a lot about yourself, your program, your kids when you're facing adversity. And like I said, although they're not happy, they've done a good job of handling it and keeping it together and staying as a team. You know, one thing one of the things I've been proud about the guys is, you know, some of the games down at Notre Dame, some of the reffing and the situation, you know, even Saturday night when we let the late goals in, we've not quit, we've not given up, we've not had a lack of discipline. So we're doing some things well, and then we're making progress and getting there, but it certainly is not coming quick enough for anybody.
Well, what, you know, I guess the big question right now is, this is a team that's been working pretty hard. I've seen enough practices to know that you're doing all you can there. It's always a little different. You're working on every aspect of the game, power play, penalty kill, face-offs, everything. What can you do in the short term to get that much better so we start winning hockey games? Is there anything you can do, or do you just keep doing what you're doing and hoping somewhere here it all takes over?
Well, you've always got to look. And so, you know, we'll change some things. We'll continue to evaluate players and personnel and even systems and everything that way. Short term, yeah, I mean, it's tough. You can't flip a switch. Otherwise, we've done that already. You know, we continue to make strides in our conditioning, and that's not a short-term item either. You can't just all of a sudden overnight get in better game shape or be able to handle 60 minutes or 120 minutes. You know, you look at our third period Saturday night and the scoring differential 16-2 for our opponent. So we're well aware of it. But again, you can't overnight become a great conditioned team. And, you know, we're more worried about where we finish our weekends and finish our season than where we start. But at the same time, I don't think you can just go nuts on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in conditioning and training and not be prepared to play on the weekend. But it is an area we continue to address and hit hard to get in better shape. And to me, that's the number one area we've got to do a good job at and continue to take major strides so that we can close out a game, we can close out a weekend, and, you know, as we get into the Christmas and post-Christmas, to be in the best shape we can be in and be in better game shape.
Yeah, all this stuff occurred to me when the 1994 team was here for induction into the Hall of Fame on Saturday afternoon. I was thinking at the time, you know, and I think I talked a little bit about that when we introduced them at the Arts Center, but that team had tremendous talent. There's no doubt about it. They had 320-plus goal scorers on that team, and they won a national championship. But one of the things they were above everything else is tremendously well-conditioned. They were in great shape, and they were strong. I mean, our coach in the 80s, Frank Anzalone, made sure that the weight training was a big part of things. And, you know, I think may have gotten away from that. I think a lot of teams have gotten away from that in recent years. They do a certain amount of it during the season, but how do you make sure guys off season are doing what they're supposed to do to come back so that you're not disappointed by test results in the fall?
Well, you know, you can only do so much. Obviously, it's on the individual players. And, you know, I can't attest for all our guys. I think we talked early on. Our testing numbers weren't where we hoped they would be when we got here. You know, part of that might have been not enough communication from my point of view to let them know what we were testing on and what our expectations were, you know, through the whirlwind of a move and a hire and new coaches, everything like that. But ultimately, you know, the players have to take responsibility as well. And you know, when, having said that, we had 6-8 guys that were in tremendous shape. They understood the opportunity in front of them and where they needed to be. So, but ultimately the onus, you know, can be on players in the summertime because we're not there to organize things and oversee things. So, moving forward and for next summer, I mean, I think our guys will certainly have a much better feel of our expectations and where we want to be. And if not, we'll address that in a better way moving into it. But, yeah, we started behind the eight ball that way and we haven't been able to catch up yet.
Well, you know, it's not like, we're getting blown out here either. Most of these games have been really tight. We've lost 3 games this season on an empty net goal that made it a 2-goal differential. We've lost a game by one goal. We've still lost 8 games, though, and that's the difficulty. And it seems like that second game is really a conditioning situation. You mentioned third periods, which is a problem, but second games, too, 3-0. We lost 5-1 at Notre Dame the second game. So, you know, those things are kind of glaring and standing out there. But what are you going to do about it? All we can do is just keep doing what you do all the time anyway, yep. Working at it.
We hit a couple, you know, you kind of lead me right into a couple points we talked about. As a team today, we talked about preparedness, being ready to play, start of the game, start of a second period, start of a third period. I think part of that is our fatigue level, but we've given up goals, you know, tied games or 1-goal games, 40 seconds into the first period, a minute 36 into the third period, Robert Morris, a minute 10 left in the second period, Notre Dame, a minute 57 in the third period, Northern Michigan, 13 seconds in the third period. So, you know, in the start of the third period, Saturday night there against Northern Michigan, we made a point. Guys, we have not been very good to start periods. We've got to be ready. Sure enough, a minute 36 in, we give up a goal. So I think part of it's a conditioning level. Part of it's a mental preparation level. And we're trying to work with a lot of our guys and what they need to do to be prepared. Some guys can be laughing and loose and come out and play. Some guys cannot do that. So guys got to figure out a little bit what they do. And then the other kind of big point we made is I put a number 66 up on our board today and said, guys, you know, what does this number represent? And, you know, chances for, shots given up on the weekend, nobody really knew. But our lineup Saturday night, and this is without Chris Ciotti with the injury, but we had 66 total goals in our lineup playing Saturday night in 714 man games. So it's not a, you know, we're not an offensive dynamo. And until we learn to be rock solid defensively and not give much up, mm-hmm. You know, we're going to be in trouble. We're not going to win games 4-2 or 5-4. And we've got to be, you know, so tight and so solid defensively so we can win 1-0, 2-1 right now until our offense wakes up, until we get some guys who can, you know, be a little bit more dynamic offensively. But 66 total goals in your lineup, and I want to go through Notre Dame and Michigan Tech and some teams and kind of compare that. Didn't have a chance, but, you know, we don't have that. So we've got to be so good defensively. We've got to take care of the puck. We can't give points away and expect to win hockey games right now.
On the other hand, this past weekend, tremendous fan support. I think a lot of that because it's Great Lakes State weekend, but we had really good crowds both nights, 23-plus on Friday, 26-plus on Saturday night, and, you know, certainly the opportunity to get some fans and win them over is there.
Yeah, no question. And that's the, you know, one of the tough parts, you know, certainly is we've had great fan support, like you mentioned, and we appreciate that. I think we've got some good feedback on that. And like you mentioned, you know, fans do see the work ethic and how hard our guys are competing. You know, ultimately you have to take advantage of that and win hockey games. And there's a lot of that on us to keep our fans coming back with wins and, you know, winning program. But I, you know, there's been good feedback. I think people have enjoyed the way we're playing, enjoyed the work ethic and the compete level of our guys. But we do have to get over that hump and show wins and put wins on the board and get it turned around.
Well, we don't play again at home now until the third weekend in November, and that's a long time between home games. I know a lot of fans grousing about, and that was during the summer, about our schedule, and I don't blame them. It's not a good schedule. I know you're not real pleased with it either, but it's reality. It's what we have to deal with. The next time we play at home is pink in the rink. Seems like every time we play, we've got a major event going on, so, which can be good because it'll bring a lot of fans in, and I think we'll probably draw pretty well when we do play at home that third weekend in November.
Yeah, it's tough to be, you know, that far out of your fans' mind for that long. So, but like you said, with pink in the rink going on, it's a great event, and you know, we're excited to get back for that. It will be a while, but the hard part is you get worried being gone so long. People forget about you a little bit, but hopefully we can get some road wins in there and show people we turned the corner there a little bit and keep coming. You know, you mentioned schedule. Another thing, we didn't talk about this with the team, but if you look at our opponents, they're sitting right at, the teams we've played are 16-2-1 right now. So, you know, Michigan Tech had 2 weeks off. They go into Ferris, which have not been swept at home in, I think, 4 or 5 years, and they sweep Ferris coming off 2 bye weeks. Pretty remarkable. Notre Dame's, you know, turning around a little bit. Part of that's on us, and we should have some wins in there. But Northern Michigan's 4-0, and then Robert Morris is 4-0-1. So, you know, again, part of that onus is on us, but you got to give a little bit of credit to our opponents. We played some teams that, you know, have won some hockey games, played in NCAA tournaments, and in Michigan Tech's case, you know, they feel like they're ready to compete for a championship this year.
And it looks like maybe they are, too. Anytime you can go into Ferris and win twice, that's pretty darn good right there. But, you know, it's not like we're not trying to do different things, too. You changed your lineup quite a bit on Saturday night. Now, some of it was of necessity. We've got some injuries right now. We'll get into some of the injuries, too. Bird, Johnson, Ciotti, they're all out with injuries, but you sat out James Roll. That's the first time I think he sat out this year, the freshman defenseman, and Ian Miller sat out. They were healthy scratches, and Lesh and Angus and Vernace got back in and played again. And, you know, so it's not like we're not trying to experiment here with players.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not in a position where anybody's entitled to play, and we never will be. You know, when we're 8-0 and whenever that comes, you know, nobody's entitled to play. We've asked our guys to earn it day in and day out, and, you know, in the case of, you know, I've brought up Austin McKay quite a bit. You know, he's a guy who didn't play early on, and he was unbelievable in practice, and his hockey IQ's done good. Jason Angus went in, and we talked about, you know, we're not going to be able to outscore our six. Jason Angus was so good defensively, you know, as our low forward, and our systems did a great job. So Jason's earned another opportunity. So, you know, as long as he practices well all week, my guess is he plays next Friday. So he did a good job. And Zach Lesh, you know, it's been tough on Zach. You know, he's played a lot of hockey. You know, we didn't like some areas of his game early on, and he's worked extremely hard to get himself back in the lineup. I thought he went in, did a very good job, his best game of the year by far. And, you know, he's a big, experienced kid. He's big, he can skate. So there's some things about his game that really help our team. So we need him to continue to play at a high level. But yeah, our guys who aren't in, I think we've got guys pushing them. We put a huge emphasis on those guys earning an opportunity, earning another start. And as long as they do it in practice, we're not afraid to get those guys in.
Yeah, you and I talked pregame on Saturday night, and I kind of hit on some of those guys that I thought had done a good job on Friday. That was a very good game. We could have won it. It's 4-2. We get beat on an empty net goal. But I thought McKay played real well for you in both games on the weekend. Garrett Clement, I thought he did a good job. If Garrett's got a problem, it's generally defensively. He's not always the strongest defensive player. When he's got the puck on his stick, he's pretty effective. I thought Bryce Schmidt was good for you both games. Wins his share of faceoffs, played tough all weekend. And I was going to mention on defense that you got some guys playing pretty well there, too. I'm really impressed by Aiden Wright for a freshman and Kyle Chatham.
Yeah, no question.
Good job.
I mean, we have, you know, we have some good things going on. You know, I think our thing right now is we might have, you know, 15 guys have a pretty good game and 4 or 5 guys turn a puck over or have a little bit of a breakdown. So that was the other big point of the team. You know, as tough as it is looking at that record and seeing where we're at, we're not that far away. There's been the empty net games. I think every game it's been either a tie game or a one goal game beyond one going into the third period. So we're not far away from where we need to be. You know, again, not happy, not okay with where we're at, but we're not as far as it might look when you look at that record and see where it's at. But you mentioned those individuals for sure, a lot of good things. Aiden Wright to step in and do what he's done a very good job. You know, Chatham's done a very good job. He didn't play the first game and then earned it. You know, you mentioned McKay. We've talked about him. He's done a good job. Bryce Schmidt is playing hard. He's playing smart. We showed a clip today where his compete level is just off the charts, and that's what we need. We need 20 guys competing like that, shift in and shift out for 60 minutes. And, you know, we're not there. We're getting 60% of the team or 80% of the team some nights. We need 95% of the team to give us a chance to win.
Okay, and this coming weekend, we mentioned it a moment ago, we're going up to Alaska. That's another whole new situation there. That's a long trip. Takes a lot out of guys, and you got to be ready to play. It'll be 11 o'clock here when those games come on the air on Friday and Saturday nights up against the Seawolves, and a long trip between here and there. That'll be another test.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to go to Big Bear tomorrow to practice on the Olympic sheet. I think it's critical that we get as much time on the big sheet as we can. So we'll go over there and get an extra day on the big sheet. Wednesday's travel day. You know, boy, I think it's a 14-hour travel day. We land about 10 o'clock Alaska time on Wednesday, which is 2 a.m. our time. So it's, you know, it's not an easy trip. There's not a great way to do it, but they do it all year long, and you know, they're used to it, and then we'll have to find a way to adjust and do it. But I think getting on the big sheet will be good. We lose that practice day Wednesday, so Thursday we'll get another skate on that big sheet. And, you know, our guys are excited. They're doing, like I said, they're doing a good job. It's not an easy situation that we're facing. You give them credit. They're sticking together. Our leaders are doing a good job keeping it together. You know, it's easy to point fingers and talk about some other guys. We've asked guys to look in the mirror and say, hey, it's not about, you know, your winger or your defenseman or your goaltender. It's about yourself. And they're doing a good job. But at some point, we got to take some steps and get those wins to make it easier on those guys.
All righty. We're going to take a break. We're about a quarter of the way through our show tonight, the Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers here on East Portage Avenue. We'll be right back on ESPN 14. All righty, we're back for the second segment of the Laker Hockey Show, live at the Antlers as usual on ESPN 1400. Damon Witten, the head coach of the Lakers, sitting in with me right now. Stephen Perfetto will join us here in our third segment tonight to chat about things from a player's point of view, and a senior player at that. We got a number of questions. Boy, last week we didn't have any questions. Tonight we got all kinds of them, I guess.
Coming out.
Yeah, the two more losses, people are full of questions, but, some of them are pretty easy. Who's going to be the starting goalie in the Alaska series on Friday night up in Anchorage?
Well, we don't know. I mean, we evaluate day in and day out. You know, so we'll see. We'll see. We would like to get, you know, some other guys some starts and looks as long as they earn it. So, you know, we don't know this early. We want to evaluate. Coach Aubrey's out recruiting. So Rich and I will have our hands full doing the goalie evaluations there a little bit more, but no, we would like to get some other looks, so we hope to do that this weekend.
And, there's a comment here about Austin McKay playing pretty well. He has done a pretty good job. One thing Austin did is off season went to, do some, power skating school type stuff. And I talked to him at the start when he came back this year, and he wasn't able to get in the lineup. And I don't think he was really pleased with that, but, never complains. He's a very good team player. I don't think I've ever heard Austin say anything real negative about anybody or anything or a coach or anything. And he just worked hard and he's gotten in there. And I think he has improved his game. He handles the puck really well. And I think one of the things that you noted on him is he's pretty smart as a player. He's got a good IQ on the ice.
Yeah, he's definitely in our top couple players of his ability to be coached and take the coaching and apply it to his game. I mean, he's one of those guys you only have to tell one time and the next time he's dead on with it. And so that's great. He can apply those lessons. And you also mentioned he's a great kid. I mean, he's a good teammate. He works hard. You never hear a negative thing out of Austin. So he's done a great job. And he's a guy probably coming in. We weren't sure how much he'd play, and here he has played all but one game. I think maybe two games, but done a very good job with his opportunity.
Okay. The other questions. There's one here on Chris Ciotti, the timetable to return, and I would add to that. I would ask about Jason Bird, and we've got a couple of injuries now that have cropped up.
Yeah, Jason Bird is back full go, so he is eligible. You know, he's missed some time now, so it's always a little tougher. We'll see how quickly he can kind of catch back up. Chris Ciotti, probably not available this weekend, but after the break for Alabama Huntsville, he should be cleared and ready to go as long as things continue to progress the way they are. Matt Johnson was questionable today, didn't skate, and we'll see how his recovery comes. Nothing major, should be a short time frame.
Okay.
And probably ready for this weekend.
And what part of your systems as coaches are the players having the toughest time with?
I know, it's a good question. We talk a lot about habits with our team. There's been a lot of habits that we've been, I'm not sure where they come from or why they're there. I think it's been for our returning guys, We're asking to play at a very high tempo, a very relentless game. We use relentless quite a bit, and I think it's a little bit new or different for them. So they've had a hard time really just saying, boy, I can really go here. My coaches are okay if I go and let us play. And, you know, we come back hard, so we usually have numbers back. We've been good not giving up odd man rushes. The biggest area that we've given up goals is our rush defense, And so there's been a lack of communication. You know, you play four or five freshman D. It's probably not shocking that they don't communicate and point out and call assignments. We're addressing it. We're working on it. But it, sometimes it's hard to get those guys to process the game as a young guy and communicate. So our rush defense, and then sometimes we back check, we over pursue. We want to check back a little bit higher, but we've given up a lot of dangerous chances and really goals starting 200 feet from our net, which you think would be fine. The puck's 200 feet, we should be fine, but that's probably give about almost 60% of our goals have come on the rush.
One of the things that I've heard several times this year, too, is guys are not stopping and going. They're looping. They're taking a circular route to get to players and get to the puck. What are we talking about there?
Yeah, well, we talk about habits, and Steven just walked in here, and we hit it again Saturday morning. We showed a goal, the power play goal they scored. We lost a faceoff, and one of our players, you know, went and closed on their point man, which is a perfect thing to do. Instead of stopping and starting and coming back in a straight line, he took a loop, and you could, if you get a chance to see the video, you'll see it perfectly. He loops instead of stops, and literally about 18 inches of passing lane is created that they zip back across and switch sides, where if he stops, brings the stick back, he closed that passing lane down. So it's such a little thing, but we haven't done a good enough job as coaches is getting that habit that everything's a stop and start, straight line skating and recovering.
Yeah, the other thing it seems to me that's a difficulty too for us is we want to be a puck possession team and we lose a lot of faceoffs. You can't be a puck possession team if you don't win the draw. It happened again. I think the faceoffs on Friday night in the second period were 18-8 in favor of Northern. That's not a good situation. If it's close, that's okay because you're winning half of them, but 18-8's a little too lopsided.
No question. A big area of our face-offs. And this, you look at our power play too, you know, we don't win that initial draw. Now they're automatically clearing it. It's so critical to win those face-offs, especially in the power play all over. But yeah, that's an area too. You know, we're trying to get our guys to be more physically involved in the face-offs, not trying to win them clean or cute, just get into the body physically. Our wingers are aware they can come help out. But yeah, our face-offs have been a frustrating part of the game.
Okay, we've got another question from the fans here about defensive game. I think we've kind of talked about that, but it's a definite question that we really haven't addressed straight up. What needs to be done to shore up the defensive game?
Yeah, well, like I said, I think in our zone, we've come a long way, and we've done a very good job in our actual D-zone coverage. You know, it's a little bit different system. It's a surround-type system, and there's some structure to it. But our guys, I think, have gotten the concept, and when we execute it well, we do it very well. And, again, we've gotten cleaner and cleaner every week. It's that rush defense. So defensively, we've been good. And the goals against this weekend were small things. It was a loop instead of a stop and start. We didn't go stick on puck on their second goal that came up from behind the goal line on Friday. So there's some small things, stick on puck, those little habits, and getting back to those 50-50 battles and faceoffs. It's all kind of one or two small breakdowns that are leading up into our net, but I don't think it's been a ton of that structure systems beyond that rush defense and that communication.
Okay, and the last question from the fans here tonight, and it's great to have the fans get in on this. There's six questions here, which is tremendous for the two of us. What's the travel itinerary to Alaska? Like, when do you leave? How does it go about? Where do you make the stops in the flight, et cetera? How tough is it?
Yeah, well, we're going to report Wednesday morning at, I believe, 9:15. Bus will leave 9:30 to head down to Detroit. We'll figure out a good spot along the way to stop real quick and get lunch. Guys will jump off the bus, stretch the legs, get a bite to eat, get to the airport around 3:30, 4 o'clock for a 5:30 departure out of Detroit. From Detroit, we go to Seattle. I think we have about an hour and a half in Seattle. Seattle to Anchorage. Anchorage, we arrived, I think it's 10:19 or 10:12 p.m. By the time all your luggage gets off the flight, your oversized stick bags and equipment bags, you load the bus, you get out of there. I mean, we'll be lucky to get out of there by 11 o'clock, which is, I think, 3 our time, correct? We'll go to the hotel, got to check in, get up there. So it'll be 3 a.m., 3:30 in the morning back in Michigan by the time we get there. And, we'll try to adjust our schedule accordingly. We practice Thursday at 2 o'clock, so we'll try to let the guys sleep in. You know, they're kids. They're not like us. We'll be up at 7 a.m. our time, so hopefully they get some rest. And, we'll try to adjust some things that way so they get as much rest as possible to catch up and acclimate it as quickly as we can.
And on this particular trip, it'll be you and Rich Mitro as coaching staff, and then you'll have Matt McKelvey and Paul Prusche. That'll be the staff.
And Ned Zimmer will come to for our video needs. Yep,
okay.
Exactly.
Good. All right. Well, that answers the question. We're going to take our second break here tonight. Damon will rejoin us in the fourth segment of the show. We'll move Stephen Perfetto in here in a minute. And we'll be right back with more on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
Okay.
Your host, Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
All right, welcome back to the Antlers on East Ridge Avenue. We are with the Laker Hockey Show again tonight on ESPN 1400. Joining us now for the third segment of the show is senior centerman Stephen Perfetto. And Stephen, welcome to the show, first of all. And been a tough season. It's no fun to be 0-8, I know that, and you're very competitive, so you're not real happy with things. But how's the team holding up under the adversity at this point?
The adversity is, I think, something we're going to look back at the end of the season and kind of laugh at, I'm hoping. And we're all kind of just gathering around each other and just trying to work to get that first one, because I think once we get that first one, we're going to start getting it rolling, and we're all just there for each other right now.
Yeah, you had a great weekend personally at Notre Dame. You scored a goal in either game, some nice goals too, a couple of picture-perfect type goals on big shots. You've got the good release. I think a lot of people look for Stephen Perfetto to be a goal scorer on this team, and you probably would love to play that role.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone wants to play that role, I guess, and hopefully I get the more opportunities to do that this year.
How's it been so far with a lot of changes in the lineup, and yet you've pretty much had the same guys with you most of the time, not a tremendous number of changes for you on wingers, etc., but has the stability been good for you?
Yeah, I enjoy it, and I just think part of the guys in the lineup is just the competition, like day to day and week to week, guys are battling hard, and it's hard to put guys in and out of the lineup when that happens. Like today, we had another great day of practice. Guys are battling and working very hard. So,
yeah, I think it's been that way. I've been to practice 2-3 times a week since practice got started. And one of the things that was really tough this year is we changed coaching staff. So you got a whole new philosophy on what we're doing and how to do things, and a lot of new guys in the lineup. And these things add up to a slow start.
Yeah, that's for sure. Just basically changed our systems from ground zero, and we're building up, and a lot of our guys, I think about 15 underclassmen, which is hard to kind of like make things go faster when that's the case, but we're getting there. There's, like coach said, like a lot of our D zone is good. It's a lot of the goals are being scored on the rush, so we're going to work on cleaning up that area, and if we can stop that, then we're going to be going, that's for sure.
Well, another thing too that he mentioned here at the outset tonight, the teams we've played so far are doing pretty well right now. They're 16-2-1 overall. Two of them are unbeaten, Northern Michigan and Michigan Tech. Well, that's pretty tough right there, and I think maybe as we start playing some other teams here, we got Huntsville in a few weeks at Huntsville. We've got Anchorage coming up this weekend. There could be some success in there that'll help get things turned.
Yeah, let's hope. And I think it's a good thing for some of the younger guys to play those bigger, tougher, older teams, just because then when you play, I guess, the younger teams such as ourselves, you kind of know what the competition is and what to expect out of yourself and how the way things are going to go.
How about, Andrew Dahmer was with us last week. We've been doing our Get to Know the Lakers again with the freshmen so far in our broadcast of the Laker hockey games. But I've asked every guy so far about, you know, the coaching staff and how they're fitting in and how they feel about things, and everything's been real positive. 0-8 means nothing. Guys are real happy with how things are going.
Yeah, guys are, like I said, guys are working hard, and we're all trying to buy into the system. Maybe it's not happening as fast as everyone would like to see, but we're getting there, and there's no complaints anywhere in the dressing room about that.
Yeah, how about yourself now as a player? This is your senior year. It goes by in a hurry. It seems like you just came in here as a freshman yesterday, and you're almost done already, and you're looked at as a leadership guy now. You've got an A on your jersey, and you do a lot of talking with the younger guys with this many freshmen in the lineup?
I try to as much as possible. I try to a lot more of the sophomores I get to try to talk to, and just because they're around the townhouses a lot more, the freshmen are up in the dorms and try to talk more at the rink. But a lot of those guys, they're also going through ups and downs, and just because different coaching staff and the way that we are starting. So I try to talk to them and get them through that and try to stay as positive as possible with them, that's for sure.
Now, you got a tough road trip coming up this week. You've been to Alaska before, being one of the seniors. Do you talk to the other guys about hydration, being ready, get some rest? Do you get in on that?
We haven't yet, but definitely we'll be telling them that the key for jet lag is to get water in you and make sure you're staying hydrated. If you're staying, if you're behind on that, then come Saturday, because usually Friday you're a little it's a little easier to skate, but Saturday gets a little tougher. If you're staying up in your hydration, then for sure it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, I guess the real good news here is if you're going to go to Alaska, get a weekend off after Alaska so you can take a couple days off in there and then start preparation, because there's another long trip, a sleeper bus down to Huntsville, but it does help to have that weekend off in between.
That's for sure. It'll also be a big week of teaching just for us to learn some things. Maybe, hopefully we have a better weekend and we can build off that weekend, but just for the weekends that have passed, we can use that week by week for sure to clean up a lot of areas.
Yeah, it's a tough start, and everybody's having a difficult time with it. But, you know, we had great crowds this past weekend. You must have enjoyed that. Great Lake State weekend. Opportunity to get to know some of the guys from the 94 team. I understand they came into the dressing room after your skate on Saturday and kind of addressed the team a little bit.
Yeah, they were great to see there, and it was great to just be in the same room as those guys there. They accomplished something that I think everyone who plays college hockey wants to accomplish since winning a national title, and some of them have won two, to be honest about it. But they were talking a lot about adversity, and they lost 9 games before Christmas the year they won, and they lost 1 game after Christmas. So they're saying every team's going to go through ups and downs, and it's just a matter of how you fight through it, and that's what the character your team's going to be after you get through the adversity. So we really took that to heart, and we're trying to see how we're going to deal with the adversity ourselves.
Well, that's the positive end of it. You know, when we were in Pittsburgh, I talked to their coach there, and he used to play Derek School. He played at Western Michigan. I kind of knew him when he was a player there, and over the years I've talked to him many times, and he said the same thing. Last year, Robert Morris University was like 2-12 at the break at Christmas, and he said he was looking for bridges to jump off of. But he said the second half of the season they came on strong. They wound up winning their league playoff tournament, and they went to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, just
anything can happen in the second half.
It's just the adversity that teams are going to have to face throughout the year. Not how you start, it's how you finish.
Now, you guys, one thing we've been talking, coach has been talking about it, and a lot of fans talk about it. That's a strength situation. That's not a problem for you. You work pretty hard off season. How do you stay in really good physical condition and work on the weight training and all that thing? What motivates you off season to get that done?
Just the guys I train with. Last year I trained with a lot of the guys on the team, but a lot of them have graduated nowadays. Mm-hmm. So I changed my gym, and I just honestly just want to have a good year and want to help the team succeed. That's just what gets me to go to the gym every day. And a lot of it honestly has to do with diet. And I've been talking to a lot of the guys, well, make sure you're getting the right nutrition in you from week to week and day to day. So I'm trying to spread the word that way. And in terms of just weightlifting, it's that era. Everyone has to weightlift in order to stay in shape and achieve your goals. So I think everyone's kind of buying into it.
Yeah, if you're going to win puck battles, you got to be stronger than the other guy. That was always a theory in the late 80s and through the early 90s when the Lakers had really winning programs. And I think guys know that. They're not stupid. Some guys, it's difficult during the summer to find training partners and all that sort of thing. I thought Dominic Minardo was one of the players who really did it best in the recent teams during the summer to stay in great shape.
Yeah, and that's one of the guys I was working out with for a long time. He graduated, like him and Freddie. I used to work out with them, and mm-hmm. McParland, guys who were bigger, stronger than me when I came in as a freshman, and even Kellen Lane. And I just, those guys have just been training elsewhere with the teams, the pro teams that they're on. So I decided it was a chance for me to move and try to find other pro guys to work out with in order to keep pushing myself.
Now, how about school, et cetera? What are you majoring in? How are things going there? Are you going to be able to graduate here at the end of the year?
Yeah, I'm business management. I'm taking 4 classes this semester, and I think I'm taking 3 to 4 next semester. It's just how the schedule worked out, but I'm on track to graduate and happy to be doing so, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a part of the goal is to get the degree, too, when you can fall back on that when you're done. A lot of guys on this team, obviously, are here to get an education, too.
Absolutely. Guys, we all try to help each other in school, that's for sure, because sometimes we're on the road together and we try to, like, not everyone catches all the same information when the teacher's talking, so it's good to have guys in the class in order to back up on that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff. Things have really changed over the years. I notice guys now are a lot of iPads and a lot of phone work going on buses. If we've got wireless, we didn't have it last trip, by the way, but I think that'll get cleared up here in a big hurry. But there's a lot of work that gets done on the road.
Absolutely. I'm not an iPad type guy. I like to read the book, but a lot of guys go on the iPad. It's a lot easier to carry on the bus, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's important to these guys to keep up with what's going on. How about the back to the hockey again now? What sorts of things do we, in your opinion, as a player on this team, do we need to work the most on right now to really turn things around and start winning some games?
Coach said it's the line rushes that are kind of killing us right now. We got 50% of our goals are coming from far, but I think a lot of that has to do with just how hard we want to work to in order to get back. So I think a lot of it's going to be in self-determination, how hard we want to push ourselves in achieving that, how much we want to do it. So I think it's going to come within ourselves to fix a lot of the problems.
Yeah, and a lot of people are talking about, hey, getting outscored 16-2 in third period, especially second games, that shows a conditioning issue, et cetera. What can you do about that at this point? There's only so much you can do to get really in better condition. It's going to take playing a lot of games. Probably second half of the season we'll see this pay off.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like I said, today we had a hard day. Started off with a lot of puck battles, and that's a type of conditioning that you don't get from running and you don't get from skating. That's just conditioning you get from playing games, and it's a different type of skating. We're doing a fair share of skating and working out, so eventually it's going to pay off. And a lot of it has to do with a lot of guys are younger. It's a growing process. They haven't played a lot of games in college, and so it's a lot faster than the junior level. And as soon as you get a little tired, your brain stops working. As soon as that happens, it's in the back of your net. That's just how it is in the college, and I guess in the pro level as well.
Now, do younger guys on this team confide in you and some of the older guys, and do they ask you questions about stuff? What they can do to improve their game, or do they comment to you at all about the speed of the game?
Yeah, that's for sure. I've played with Aiden Wright in junior hockey, and after his first week, and he told me like it's a lot faster. I'm just like, what I said to him was, if it's a lot faster right now, just keep your game simple. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do more than you want to or more than you have to. Just keep it simple and keep the puck in front. If you can manage to do that, then you'll be successful. And that's what I've been trying to tell all the freshmen. Just keep it simple and just play your game. Don't overthink it. Don't overstress about things.
Okay. Well, you've done a good job so far this season. You got a couple goals already, and it's nice to see you get on that score sheet. I hope you can do that up in Anchorage, too. Wish you luck this weekend, and we'll have you on again throughout this season.
Thank you.
Stephen Perfetto joining us here tonight on the Laker Hockey Show. We'll be right back with a four.
Laker Hockey Show continues with your host, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
All right, we're back for the final segment of the show tonight from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. It's the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. And Damon moving back in with us now, the head coach of the Lakers, and lots of stuff to talk about yet tonight. I want to get into some recruiting here in a few minutes. I know that Pete Aubrey's going on the road this week and will not be up in Anchorage, but lots of stuff happening. I know you work every day for at least a little bit on power play efficiency and penalty killing and all aspects of the game. That power play is getting chances. We're creating some opportunities. It's looking a lot better, but we're still not scoring goals. I think we're clicking at something around 9% right now.
Yeah, I think just under, you got me, Bill? Just under, I believe, at 8.6 or something. But yeah, just real quick before, I mean, we've talked about conditioning and things like that. And Stephen Perfetto, I think he just walked out, but I mean, off the charts. He led our team in our overall rankings, did a great job. And that's part of the leadership he provides. If our young guys who aren't where they need to be, they look at him and he does a great job. So I give him a lot of credit. He's a guy that's pulled us the right way. So good for Stephen. Power play wise, we had a nice goal Friday. And it's funny because we had a group that wasn't clicking real well. And then in practice, we threw a third group together with the McKay's line, Aiden Wright and Nathan Harris. And sure enough, they go out and get us a power play goal Friday night. So McKay had a nice tip. Obviously, a big body net front presence does a good job. They did a good job and they got a power play goal Friday night. We won the special teams battle. Typically, you win the special teams battle, you get a victory. But with our luck right now, that didn't happen. But it was a good job Friday night winning special teams. Saturday night, we lose Johnson from the lineup. It juggled our lines a little bit. And with that third power play, playing a little bit better. And the biggest thing is it starts off with one faceoff. Austin McKay, great on faceoffs. He wins a draw. We get a goal. But then the other group, we put Scott Patterson in an Ian Miller spot in the middle of our 1-3-1. And if you remember, Patterson made a great play. I think it was Perfetto. Fed it to Patterson in the middle, brought a defender, backhand looked at Draplick. Draplick wristed one into Globke. He was all alone at a great screen on the goal. I think Globke tipped it out himself and didn't tip in the net. But you mentioned it. We did have some good looks. We were real close on an entry as well, a power play breakout where we just had it roll off our stick. But created some looks, but again, I mean, heavier around the net, more desperate around the net. We've got to get those second and third chance opportunities and those retrievals, and that's something, again, you know, Steven mentioned our competing drills today in practice. We still got to up our compete level and our desperation level on these pucks.
Yeah, Globke's another guy. He's kind of snake bit. He has not scored goals yet, and he can score goals. He's a goal scorer, but he's got to get the puck down around the net, and it's got to come to him. He can't be the guy dishing the puck. I thought on Saturday night in particular, and I like him on the wing better than at center, but I thought he passed when he should have shot a couple times. And coming in off that left side, I think he really misses Campbell and Radke, who were with him last year, really helped him to have a tremendous rookie year. I mean, he was freshman of the year in the CCHA, and that's pretty darn good. And we got to get him going, but he's got to get him going too.
Yeah, and if you remember early in the season, we had him in that high 1-3-1 look on that power play, and we've moved him down to net front just for that look that we had with Draplick this weekend. I don't think he's the only guy passing up shots. We had a 2-on-1 with Domet. He tries to make a pass. You know, when things aren't going offensively, you got to simplify things and not try to make cuter and better plays. So, you know, we need to get pucks to the net. We need to get traffic to the net. Now is no different. He's had 3 or 4 great looks, and, you know, they haven't gone in, or, you know, he got missed a tap-in or two. I think it was Friday night. So, he's done a good job handling the frustration, but he certainly isn't happy. I think the other thing, any team you look at, obviously we all do scouting reports, and every team that we play is going to say he's the guy you got to shut down. So he's going to face the other team's top defenseman. He's going to face the other team's top defensive line. You know, he's a guy that's keyed on heavily. And I think somebody asked, what do you do to get him going? You know, Friday night, if anybody watched closely, we tried to match his line up against one of their third or fourth lines, up him away from their better defensive lines to try to get him some space and some time to play. So, you know, you worry about matchups. You try to keep them away from some people. A lot easier to do at home than it is when you go on the road and they have the last change. But, you know, that's something we look at. You know, he was on the wing with Perfetto on Saturday. So, we like to think we're smart coaches, and we realize he's a key for us. We've got to find a way to get him going, and we're trying to put him in positions to be successful. One thing I think, again, with our style of play, we're asking guys to play relentless, and he's done a good job working on his skating. He needs to continue to do that. But he's stuck with it. He's playing hard. He's getting opportunities. You know, I'd be really worried if he wasn't getting his looks. He had a great backhand chance all alone net front. I'm sure he would have liked it on his forehand. But the chances are there. I think when the first one kind of breaks, you know, typically, hopefully that'll bring more his way.
Estimate for us at this point in this season, since we've just started, how much time would you say you and Rich and Pete Aubrey spend watching video and preparing and going over this stuff until it's ad nauseum for you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's huge numbers. I mean, like I said, I think a lot of people think you get to coach, you show up Friday night and open the door. But Friday night, post game, we actually had a little video snafu. So, you know, we all ran home after talking about the game with video on our laptops to cut down and break down and put together. We all ended up back at the rink about 30 minutes later because the video didn't get put on a computer. So here we are sitting back there and watched it together there. But it's every night, you know, whether it's your own team, whether it's, scouting Anchorage. Since Rich is traveling with the team this weekend, he'll kind of take the key of the Anchorage pre-scout. So, you know, my guess is he has his laptop home every night watching it once the kids and wife are in bed or taking it to bed and watching 6 to 8 hours of Anchorage, maybe more, and clipping it, putting it together. So, it's relentless. And then I think you were on the bus with us. You see, you know, we download video of recruits off of different sites and spend, you know, basically any waking moment in season is hockey. And that's why, you know, you got to have the right wife and the right family, because it is a little bit sick. It's a little bit of a disease how much we love it. But I don't know if I can put an hour on it for you, but it's countless. I mean, there's a ton of time. And you know, we're so new into the season, we haven't had as much time as we wanted of getting lines up or individual players up. But that's another big part. We've got a system put together that our players can watch back all their shifts or the games back so they can learn and see their own film. But at the same time, we want them coming up with their line mates or their D partners and sitting down with a coach and watching their shifts back together. And to me, that's where the most value is, that one-on-one teaching with their shifts right in front of them. Can't hide when it's right there.
No, it's amazing these days how things have changed along the technology end of things and what a teaching tool it is. And everybody does it. It's not just our team. It's every team in the country is doing this sort of thing and breaking it down and letting the players learn from watching themselves play. Recruiting. This is a team that has 3 seniors on it. Obviously not a tremendous turnover there. You've already gotten commitments out of a number of young men for the future. Not all of them are for 2015-16. What, in the coaching staff's opinion, are the needs for next year, the immediate needs for this team?
Well, certainly the three senior forwards we lose need to be replaced, you know, on paper, and so we've pretty much there with that. You know, we almost have a one-for-one coming in, so you're losing experience, you're losing good players and key veteran guys. So, you know, on paper, one-for-one, that's there. You know, we've got to find a way over the next couple of years to balance out our goaltending situation. You know, I hope I'm, you know, as we move through this and we get 4 or 5 years out, I certainly hope we're not in a situation where we have to play 4 or 5 freshman defensemen and 2 freshman goalies. So we've got to establish balance to our recruiting classes. Mm-hmm. I don't know all the situations of why, or, you know, obviously Churchman's part of that, signs early and whatnot, but, so we will add some more pieces. You know, we can't be 4 years from now graduate 5 defensemen and have 4 new freshman defensemen that have to come in and play from day one. So we've got to provide balance across our lines, even forwards. It's a small group. I mean, you kind of want to have, you know, anywhere from 6 to 10 kids per class. So 10 would be a huge class. But so hopefully we'll provide a little bit more balance. And part of that is how your money's allocated. You know, you can't just go out and spend money if you don't have it. So you got to find the right players on the right packages and have it work out that way. But we need to have balance for sure.
Yeah, and I would think that this year, this season, given the schedule and the travel you've got to do and everything, this is a tremendous hit on the budget.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. I mean, you look at the trips and the travel, and so it's a big year that way, you know. And that's what you mentioned, the crowds we've had. It's critical. We have fan support, you know, to help our players to make money for the program. And that's to me one of the hard parts, is we haven't had the success we wanted early on. You know, you get those people in there, you get a good crowd. And I think it's been pretty entertaining games. It's been close games, but boy, it'd be nice to put up 3 or 4 and get them excited and coming back and hungry for that next weekend. So that's where I get worried. I want to capitalize on their support and the people who have come out and supported us. And so you get worried on that.
Yeah, Great Lakes State weekend this past weekend, a great event when you induct a hockey team or players from the hockey program into the Hall of Fame athletics-wise at Lake Superior State. It was your first chance to sit through that on Saturday afternoon. It was pretty good. They did a good job, and always nice to see a team that won a national championship and listen to them talk.
Well, it's so unique. I mean, you know, and the inductees were very impressive. They did a great job, Allison, Chris, and certainly the team as well. But you know, they're national champions. I mean, that's so special. That's so unique. There's not many people anywhere. I remember I played for John Marks, who's coaching in Fargo now, and we won a championship that year. We were in the playoffs, and Marks, he asked our team in the minors, everybody raise your hand who's won a championship. And there might have been 2-3 guys. I mean, it is so unique to win a championship. And here you are, you know, multiple ones here for some of those guys, but it's so unique to see those guys and just to see, you know, they walk in a room and it's right back like they're back in 94, and they're just, you know, their old personalities, their old friendships. And so it was special, and you did a great job, Bill. And speaking about the team and the players speaking, we were fortunate they came in Saturday morning to talk to our team. Not all the guys were quite back yet, but I think we had 8 to 10 in the locker room that morning, and they all introduced themselves and a couple spoke a little bit. So for our guys to get to see that and to talk about the adversity they faced and the things they went through and how special Lake State is to them and college hockey, it was really a great experience for me and our program to have that.
Yeah, you get that team had 3 guys that scored 20 goals or better, Sean Talaire, Clayton Beddoes, and Wayne Strawn. 2 of those 3 were here, and I understand Clayton actually tried to fire the boys up when he talked to him.
Yeah, well, he's got that coaching blood, and he had a little inspiration, and he apologized for his language after he left the locker room, but he was into it and tried to get them. You know, I was a little upset they weren't in game shape because I had Aldridge running our power play that night with Beddoes and Talaire down there. But they said they weren't ready to play those minutes. But I liked the look of the power play there.
That would have been good. It would have been. They probably still would have scored.
They might have been all right. They might have been all right.
Well, we're out of time here tonight on the Laker Hockey Show. I appreciate the fans being here. It's great. This team's 0-8, but stick with them. I think Damon did a great job on Saturday night asking you to hang in there with this team. They're working hard every day trying to turn it around. And, Damon, thank you for being here for the show. Good luck in Anchorage. Those games will start at 11 o'clock here in Sault Ste. Marie. That's a tough thing, but the play-by-play man for those games will be Kurt Hader. And I don't really know Kurt, but he's been at it a couple years up in Anchorage, and we'll be taking a feed on those 2 games. We'll be right back here next day at 6 o'clock. We'll talk about the series at Anchorage and the week that's going to be off and to get ready for Huntsville in a couple weeks' time. Damon, thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
All righty. That's it on the Laker Hockey Show. We'll be back your way next Monday at 6 on ESPN 1400.